cliffcentral.com.
This one that Donna Summer is so sick of the song now. Because you know she listens to it every single day. She's thinking, damn you. We have a royalty issue soon. Anthea, what's going on in the finance?
Ben, we had a good day on Friday. So the all share was up about 85 basis points, so 0.85%. I mean, slow volumes, $1.2 billion traded. The rand very much stronger, 13.16 to the dollar. Pretty much in line with emerging markets, though. I mean, that's kind of where it's at. It's got nothing to do with us, really.
Well, that must have soured your Chardonnay on a Friday. That's a little strange.
Well, at least the market was higher. And in fact, some of the shares that I follow or own were higher. So, you know, this whole like correlation between rand hedges, weaker rand, higher rand hedges, just is not working. I mean, so resources were down 9 basis points. Industrials were up over 1%. And you would think it's the other way around. So the stronger rand would normally send Naspers lower, but even Naspers was up 3% on Friday. It's very odd. There's still lots of worries around the mining charter. Everyone's talking about it and kind of what they're going to say and what they're going to do and how it all unfolds. So that's a bit worrying. Gold's absolutely got crushed again on Friday. Goldfields and Sibanye-Stillwater being the biggest drag on the top 40 index. The sector was down 7% for the week. I mean, luckily though, Lonmin, you remember we spoke about it last week because they're looking to potentially do a capital raise or they're not looking, we're speculating they're going to have to. They caught a bit of a bid. The share was up just over 3.5% on Fridays. And then despite, I said, the stronger rand, Steinhoff was up almost 1%. Good for retailers, of course. Generally, they did okay. Woolworths was up 2%. And then TMTs were quite strong, you know, TMTs, technology, media, telecoms. Vodacom was up 3%. Even MTN was up just over 1% on Friday. The hospital groups were mixed, but luckily for us, Mediclinic caught a bit as well. They were up 1.4%. The story there is that it looks like the Swiss tax levy that potentially they were going to be imposed on them is now less likely to happen. And then, of course, Ascendus Health continued up 4% on Friday. This is just, they've had a great run last week after their results, really looking good. And then the one company I want to focus on a little bit today is Aspen, the pharma care company. I mean, they were down 1% on Friday. Management had a conference call with investors. The share was down as much as 5% during intraday trade. I think, Maybe management don't always know the right things to say on these conference calls. So on the surface, I thought the numbers looked decent, but there is a big cash flow issue which investors are not liking. And then the company made a point of highlighting currency will strongly influence the second half of this year's earnings growth. And at spot, the rand is about 18% stronger year on year against the euro. And Europe accounts for 20% of revenue for Aspen. So all this being equal, it shaves off about 4% of the second half revenue growth, which we don't like. I mean, you'd think with all these negatives, it looks bad. But actually, I think you can expect higher revenue growth in the than the first half. And a couple of things there. They bought into AstraZeneca. They bought basically not just into, but they actually bought the AstraZeneca anesthetics portfolio as well as the GSK, the GlaxoSmithKline anesthetics, and the thrombosis medicine. I think they call it thrombolytics or something. Thrombosolytics, something like that. Anyway, and I think that together is going to add about £100 million of revenue. So Lots going on. I mean, Aspen really has just been a major disappointment for us. What should probably, I mean, I still expect about 15% stronger. It's so difficult to say. But I do think the worst is out of the way. And so I'm just going to hold on to the share for a bit longer. I'm just going to stick with it.
Anthea, I know in your professional capacity, you probably wouldn't, you know, lose your cool. But do you ever go into these meetings quite frustrated with these people and ask really tough questions?
Oh, all the time. With management. Oh, absolutely.
But it's a quite commonplace that sometimes these meetings get a bit heated because expectations are obviously needed to be matched.
Yeah, and it's quite funny because you're just a shareholder and an analyst and an investment manager, and they actually run the company. So you need a bit of respect, and they deserve respect for running these big companies. But like, there are stages where you just go, are you kidding? Mm. No, can you not do that? And then just give me the right answer. There's a lot of that. I think we generally try to be civil about it. I mean, you know, we're not activist shareholders, so we don't go in there.
It's not parliament, basically.
Yeah. And we don't try to tell them what to do. We're more trying to coax out of them what they are doing.
Right.
But you do get activist shareholders who will go in and say, your governance is wrong and this is it and that's it. We run long only money. In other words, we only buy shares. It's not a hedge fund. We don't short shares in Cartesian Capital. But there are the activist shareholders would physically go and short the share. Lots of them in America seems to be the way to go.
It's kind of, you hear in the show Billions quite a lot.
Shorting.
When they're not having these strange homoerotic moments with each other, they're always talking about shorting on certain intel and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So that actually does happen a lot. Mm. The hedge funds. It's a very different game, shorting and going long shares. Like buying shares, you can only lose the money you've put in. Whereas when you short a share, you can lose more than you've put in.
Right.
So it's a dangerous game to play. But it's interesting. I mean, like, obviously, if you either like a share or you don't like a share, there generally isn't a middle ground. You either, like, a share doesn't hardly ever stays in the same place, right? It's either going to go up or it's going to go down. If you think it's going to go up, then you must buy it. If you think it's going to go down, in my case, you don't own it. But if you're a hedge fund, then you actually short it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, lots of that is fun. Like, that whole kind of scenario of trying to appease each other, I think. And it's funny, I think the companies that communicate the best with the best management are the ones that do better, generally speaking. Talk about companies that communicate. Tongaat put out a trading update on Friday. Now, unfortunately for Tongaat, they do not have a reputation of communicating all that well.
All right.
So they said on Friday that sugar production is expected to grow significantly over the next 2 years because of the drought conditions. We're now seeing some recovery. Starch operations will benefit from the recovery in the South African maize crop. The share was up 4% on Friday. Still no news on selling of land parcels. And so this is what we're waiting for because, 2.5 years ago now, they said to us, you know, we bought the share because they said this is what they're looking to get. The price, they told us the price they were looking to get per acre of land in the Tongaat region. And it kind of just hasn't come to fruition. And every time you ask about it, it's like, oh, in the future or potentially. And that kind of lack of communication, I guess they're probably concerned because, you know, they can't say, well, foreigners are not coming in to buy because then everyone would sell their share. And it is a share that's come under pressure.
It is quite a difficult thing because it's been such amazing growth on that whole north coast of KZN. So they're kind of hoping that boom would continue and then they'd be sitting pretty.
Exactly. But it seems that boom hasn't continued.
Which doesn't, yeah. That's so interesting. Hey, there you go. Sugar producer kind of person primarily.
Turn real estate.
But they need the real estate to happen for them to really kick on.
Exactly. Okay, so there wasn't much else in the local market. That's pretty much it. But then in the U.S. on Friday, non-farm payrolls was released. The U.S. created 235,000 jobs in February. We were expecting, or the market was expecting, 200,000. Unemployment is now 4.7% in America, so that's amazing.
So they've actually got better.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Who the hell does Donald Trump think he is? First proper month, and he's created more jobs.
Well,
absolute dick. Oh, that must be stopped right now.
So this is the great thing because he's absolutely taking credit. This, in fact, was the first major economic report that covered the full period. That was the full period for him. And he's totally taken credit, even though during his campaign, he called the jobs report fake and said the unemployment rate was a hoax. So there you go. I mean, because, you know, obviously...
He was just briefed wrong, Anthea.
Oh, I see.
That's all.
So it wasn't that he disliked Barack Obama and that he hated that Obama was creating hundreds of thousands of jobs every month. It wasn't that then. Okay.
No,
how silly of me. And then lastly, on the front page of Bloomberg this morning, there was a story, and this is kind of international Bloomberg, the release of the ANC policy document ahead of the conference on the 30th of June. This was this morning's story. The ANC released this policy document yesterday. Bloomberg quoted the documents as saying the presidency must strengthen as the must be strengthened as the strategic center of power in the state. I think this is going to cause a bit of consternation and a bit of concern with foreign investors. I mean, I can't imagine foreigners will take well. We know that there's a fight for the keys of the treasury. And to me, it just does not work. It just seems all completely wrong. You know, this narrative that they now want to give the presidency more power.
It just doesn't make sense. It isn't something you give. It is something that is put in place to help run the country. It's not a teddy bear.
Yeah. And I think everybody has focused previously on the electoral conferences, which happen, I don't know, towards the end of the year, November, whatever. But I think this is probably the more important one. I mean, the party did say they must work to restore the moral character and win back public trust. I think maybe then don't give the presidency more power.
Well, it's quite simple, really. Like, if you're the stupid kid in class, you don't get more responsibility. You get told to get better, or you get sent outside. The state can have, in my eyes, everything if they do everything great. But when you do very little great, you should probably have very little.
I mean, I'm not sure that it's even very little great. I actually think it's just bad.
Yeah.
So no,
I'm a little tired of saying bad.
So on the 2nd of June, we've got S&P, the ratings agencies, and I honestly think we stand a fairly good chance of not being downgraded on the 2nd of June. And I know the last GDP growth number was negative and it didn't look so good, but there were really in that report signs of life and signs that this was the turning point and we've reached the bottom and now it's up, because you can tell the kind of indicators or the factors that are forward looking, like the fixed investment has turned. The rand's been stronger. Inflation's pulled back a bit. Inflation's still a bit of a worry, I think. I think Treasury and the national budget potentially were a little bit optimistic on growth and inflation, but, you know, it's all forward-looking and it's all a guess anyway. But honestly, I think there is great potential that we won't be downgraded. But these kinds of reports make me worry. I think the only thing that could make the rating agencies downgrade us potentially is kind of this politics that's going on at the moment.
I mean, look, it's great that you can say it and there is optimism, but this whole ratings thing with our country, it feels like a dog in traffic. It's going to miss a few things here and there, but it just looks at like... It's not going to work out in the long run. Cool, Anthea. So that's your Monday Finance. Back tomorrow over Skype.
Indeed. We'll speak tomorrow. Have a good day.
Fantastic. That's Anthea Gardner. You can catch all of Anthea's Monday pods right on cliffcentral.com.